Well, good morning, everyone. I love to hear that buzz as we're getting ready for church. It's such an honor to be here with all of you. So thank you for coming to worship today. And thank you to those of you who are joining us online for worship as well. We welcome you too. Today is our Backpack Blessing Sunday, and I brought my backpack. I'm ready to go for church today, and I see lots. And don't worry, if you didn't bring your backpack, you can still come to the blessing. In a little while, during our children's time, we're going to invite all ages up to the front that are involved in school. If you're a student, if you're an educator, if you work in the building, if you have anything to do with education, or if you just need a blessing today, I'll invite you to come on up for our blessing of the backpacks. It's one of my favorite children's times of the year. I also would like to draw your attention as you leave worship today to the birthday balloons out in the Grand Hall. Our anniversary dinner celebration is coming up on the 25th. And if you haven't had a chance to purchase your tickets and you plan to go, now is the time to do that. We only have one more Sunday left. Next Sunday, the 22nd, is your last day to purchase tickets so that Miss Johnny will know how much food to order. So I encourage you, if you're planning to do that, to either go online or visit her at the table and get your tickets, because you won't want to miss that evening. Also, in your second helping, there's lots of information about our Wednesday nights that are coming up starting September the 1st. There's something for everyone to do. We have children's programming on Wednesday nights called Wild Wednesday, and we have youth called Hangout, and then we have adult classes, many for you to choose from. So I invite you to look at the second helping and see what might be a great fit for you and your family. We'd love to have you here. All right, I am excited about worship today. I'm so glad that you are here and can be here to celebrate with us. Now let's prepare ourselves for worship. Take a moment with me. Let's be still, let's take a breath, and get ready for what God has in store for us today. The Lord be with you. And now I invite you, as you are able, to stand with me for the call to worship. Come, let us praise the Lord together in the company of this community of believers. Our Lord is gracious and merciful. His righteousness never fails. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. Come and worship, all you who fear the Lord.
Please pray with me. Dear God, you are Lord of all. You are more deserving than what we can give, and you are greater than what we can even fathom. You are more love than we can truly experience. Continue to pour into us, God, so that we may pour into our friends and our family, our coworkers and community, our neighbors and our strangers, and to show them the glimpse of who you are. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
It is children's time today, and I invite all my children of all ages to come join us for the blessing of the backpacks today. Y'all come on up. We're going to surround. You can come on the stage. You can stand on the floor. We're not going to sit today. Y'all come gather around. We invite students and adults. Come on over. Oh, I love it. Y'all come gather around. There's plenty of room. And if we run out of room, you can stand in front of the stage too. You can gather around. We're so glad that you guys are here. Look at all these people. Makes me a little bit emotional. I really love it. Well, friends, I am honored to be here and to be doing this backpack blessing. It's not only the backpack that you're wearing or the backpack that's at your house ready to go for school that we are blessing. We are blessing you, and we are blessing this new year. It's a really big deal, the start of school, all things fresh and new. You don't know what's in store, but it's exciting. And I love what's said in the Bible in Proverbs chapter 4, and so I'd like to pull a little bit from that. And let's hear what it says, and it'll help us as we go through this blessing. In verse 1, it says, "Listen, children, to a father's instruction and be attentive, that you may gain insight." So let's pay attention this year. Be ready for what's to come. In verse 4, it says, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live." So follow the rules and things will be simple, right? There's going to be rules no matter where you go, and it'll make life a little bit easier. In verse 5, "Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Stay smart and make wise decisions this year, friends." There's lots of things that are going to come your way. Think about what's most important. In verse 14, "Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk the way of the evildoers. So do what is right." In verse 20, it says, "My child, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." So listen carefully. There's going to be a lot thrown at you this year. Just listen to what's being said. In verse 23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Guard your heart always, friends. In verse 25, "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." Stay focused each day. And most importantly, in verse 26, "Keep straight the path of your feet and all your ways will be sure." Don't forget to follow God's word. I know you're going to be studying in lots of books and doing all kinds of syllabuses and things you're going to learn this year. But don't forget what you learn here at church and what's inside your Bible. And now I invite everyone to join us in our backpack blessing litany today for all of these friends up here. It'll be on the screen for those of you on the stage who would like to join in. I invite you. As we begin a new school year, it is good to remember that God has given us the ability to learn many things.
Learning is a gift from God.
The Bible says that Jesus learned and studied just as we do.
Jesus grew in wisdom
We ask God's blessing on this new school year, that it may be a time when we appreciate and fully use God's gift of learning.
We ask God to bless our schools and teachers.
We ask God to bless our classmates.
We ask God to bless our principals, counselors, and librarians.
We ask God to bless those who prepare our lunches, those who drive us to school, and those who keep our schools clean. We give
thanks to God for books and readers of all things that help us learn.
We give thanks to God for the gift of learning. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, we ask your blessings upon this new school year. It seems that we are entering again the school doors with some uncertainty about what's to come. Take our fears and doubts and replace them with peace. Watch over these students and help them to discover and develop the gifts that you have given them. As they carry these backpacks, may they be reminded of your love and care that surrounds them each and every day. Give them confidence when they are anxious, comfort when they are afraid, and encouragement when they are tired. Lord, we pray also for educators, administrators, and all school personnel. Be with them as they are charged with making difficult decisions on behalf of the students who walk through their buildings. And finally, God, we pray for the health and safety of these friends. Protect them and love them as you do. You are so great and so mighty, and we thank you. Amen. I pray special blessings upon each and every one of you this school year. I know that you will have an amazing year, and I can't wait to hear all about it. We do have backpack blessing tags for each one of you. Casey and Chris have little buckets that you will get as you step down the stage. And if you are watching online and would like one of our tags, please send me a message, and I will get that to you in the mail this week. We want everybody who wants to have a tag on their bag to have it. We want you to know that you are loved and prayed for every day by Second Baptist Church. Thank you all so much. If you are going to preschool praise, Miss Donna will be at the back for our littles who are headed that way.
Thank you. if you would pray with me, please. As the earth quakes and the foundations beneath our brothers, our sisters, our friends in Haiti again, we pray that you, O God, would be our rock and our refuge. We pray as the fires blaze again on the West Coast, we pray that our hearts would be ignited by your Spirit and your grace. We pray as a world, as we face a third, a fourth, a fifth wave, we pray that it is your hand, O God, that lifts us up to walk upon the waters. As you breathe peace, may your peace be upon us. May this be so, and give glory to your name, the name that is above and beyond and before all names. For it is by the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit that we pray together. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able. We'll continue to worship.
Scripture reading today is from our Hebrew scripture, is 1 Kings 3:4-14. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept him for him the great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I'm only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous that they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because if you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before, and no one like you shall arise after. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." The word of God for the people of God.
Speak, Lord.
Friends, what a joy, an honor, a gift your presence is here. What a just a delight it is to gather with you for worship. If we can be of help to you, I'll be available after the service out in the Grand Hall or at your convenience. Would be honored to follow up with you. Good and gracious God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. My parents were pious people, pious in the good sense. They were simple, humble. They were people of prayer, attending the reading of scriptures as often as possible. They gave to the community, even though they didn't have much to give. In my memory, at one point, we had three donkeys to work the land my grandparents had given to us. My aunt and uncle just around the corner had several more donkeys than us, along with goats and on occasion a few bull. They hosted parties. My cousins worked the land too, but they had tunics with sleeves to wear in the cool season and didn't have to stuff their coats with straw to stay warm like my siblings and I did. I remember as a wee lad, my father always made time for us, always enjoyed kicking the ball around. With hours left in the day, I remember that he and mother could be found sitting in the shade tree, just visiting, laughing, smiling, holding hands. And when I became a man at age 12, I wondered why my father didn't work longer and harder and smarter. I wondered why he didn't want us to have leather sandals like my cousins instead of the knockoffs made of banana leaves. And I decided then, at a young age, I would work longer and harder. My sons, if God wills, would have shoes and sandals made of fine hides. When mother and father went to rest with our ancestors, I took over the land, maximizing the yield of the property. I leased more land from our tribe, and after a few years of hard work, I bought the entire estate of my grandparents from my aunts and uncles and cousins. I overpaid, of course, but they were family. Surely my grandparents would have such honor knowing that the land was used to its fullest potential year in and year out. Those early years of consolidated family homestead were profitable, but I kept operation lean in order to leverage as much as possible. Sure, at times I envied my cousins who married and had children, who had kiddos to run around in their fields and in their homes to help, but I kept my nose down, working harder and longer than any other in our small village. Despite the stability and success, I always sensed I had more potential. So when the new millennium began, 1000 BCE, 1000 before Common Era, which is also 3000 BCE, 3000 before COVID era, at 1000 BCE, I made the commitment to myself and to my God that I would offer 1000 sacrifices. For 200 years in this land of promise and of blessing, our ancestors have made offering and prayer atop the sacred mountain. And in the year 1000, I committed to climb the mountain and offer to God 1000 offerings. It was simple, really. 50 offerings in prayer a year atop the mountain for 20 years. Leaving, of course, 2 weeks of negotiated, unionized vacation and rest. The first year was difficult, as you can imagine. I walked the paths, switchbacks and single tracks, rocks and roots at every step, constantly slowed me down. Once a week for 6 months was fine, but if I was going to do this 975 more times, it makes sense to take the time now, early on, and wrestle the trail clear of rocks and roots. And so I did. By year two, 950 offerings remaining, other improvements seemed obvious. The trail went the long way around and across the mountain. On the west side, a false summit provided a nice view of the valley below, but not near as magnificent as the vista from atop. The western edge of the trail was really only for those going halfway up. On the east side of the mountain, there was a gentle rock squeeze, which was not too technical, really, but the time it takes to turn sideways and adjust your gear could easily be compensated by traversing the long way around the outcrop. And naturally, at a number of switchbacks, if one would simply turn sooner, if even steeper, these various inefficiencies could be approved along the path. So I blazed an alternate trail, of course, merging back upon the path of our ancestors as often as feasible. In the beginning, a 6-hour ascent and a 4-hour descent, plus all the time it takes to give offering and say prayer atop the mountain, created a little over a 10-hour commitment. But by year 3, with updated trail conditions and improved personal fitness, a 10-plus-hour trip was now a 4-hour climb up and a 1-hour, 23-minute stroll down. Further efforts at consolidation and memorization, of course, allowed for me to say my prayers and give offering to the Lord in 7 minutes or less. Wouldn't you like that today? Can a brother get an amen? Total time now was just under 6 hours. That's not even half a day. It was disappointing, expected, although, but not all that surprising that in the years that followed, none of the clansmen or any of the other villagers took advantage of the nicer trail that I had blazed. They all walked the old path up the mountain. Sure, on occasion, one would be on my trail, but it was clear that person was lost or confused, or, "You're not from around here, are you?" While hitting my stride in those first 5 years, 250 offerings in, to God be the glory, of course, all the while my work at home in the land, it expanded. I continued to rotate and add crop, borrowed fewer and fewer tools and animals from family and neighbors, accompanied some gradual increase in profit per harvest. Others from surrounding villages took note of my quality and my unique packaging. This is what my father called honoring our good reputation, but I preferred to call it brand management. Naturally, these gains allowed for me to buy more land and hire more men. Each week, I thanked God atop the mountain, and I prayed for divine provision and further blessing of the Lord. Some weeks, the presence of God atop the mountain was more real than the brown in the rock or the sweat on my brow. And yet other days, the Spirit of God seemed further away than the glorified horizon of purples and blues. For my own spiritual enrichment, I experimented. I hiked by the light of the moon or the glow of the sunset. Each were adequate, of course, but I could never draw a direct correlation between time and pace and setting, never a straight line between my analysis and my effort and the presence of the Lord. At random, it seemed, sometimes the prayers just clicked. Sometimes I got to the bottom of the mountain and wondered, had I forgotten to say my prayers atop? Going up the mountain, I was driven and focused. My quads, of course, as you can well see, and calf muscles were attuned to each step. I had doubled the leather on my shoes to improve comfort and longevity. I could ascend as though on autopilot, each step metronomed by my heart rate. Yet strangely, it was on the way down. It was on the way down that my spirit would often ponder the depths of the prayers or the privilege it was to give an offering to the Lord at the altar given to our ancestors in this land of Jacob years ago. Twice on the way down, I came to a full stop. I turned around and set my face to the sacred setting, and I wondered, though I was headed down, I wondered, was my soul still atop the mountain? 500 offerings, 10 years of hiking, and life was moving along. I met a woman from the nearby village, beautiful, kind, and from a family of rather impressive holdings. We had some number of children together. Thanks be to God, 2 of them were sons. I managed her father's affair with gentle increase, simultaneously adding our own efforts at more, is what my in-laws called it. I preferred to call it efficiency economics, vertical integration, if you will. Her parents went to sleep with their ancestors, prompting me to exhume my parents and place them in a much nicer, larger tomb. We paid the local gardener to keep fresh flowers near the entrance during the growing seasons. 750 offerings and 15 years of hiking the mountain, each journey seemed to be faster than the one before it. Now of age and of ability, I occasionally invited my sons to join me to hike, to pray, and to offer gratitude to the Lord, but they wouldn't. I never remember in all of my life ever telling my father no. Offering in hike number 899 was dark, and someone had left a rock in my path and I fell. It was as embarrassing as it was painful. I crawled to a bush, fashioned a staff, and completed the hike and the prayer. Upon reaching home, my leg and knee below the knee was swollen and blackish and purple. It remained so for about 3 months, during which time my boys, now age 10, were again not helpful. When I was their age, I practically ran the farm for my parents. It became too much of a disappointment for me to even ask the lads for help, so I stopped. Instead, I hired a guide, a Sherpa, to help me up upon a mule and start the path that I would take alone up the mountain to say the prayers and then back down again. I worked my way back onto my own 2 feet much faster than what the local healer estimated. Savage. But I never walked the same again. Each step was though a percussionist was with me as my joints popped. I had a bit of a limp, but I didn't let it slow my body down. My soul, however, was discouraged. At the altar, my prayers were shorter than ever. Ironically, down below, our business was stable as ever. Our servants could basically run the entire operation without my management. My wife and I, even on occasion, could be found sitting together underneath the shade tree, holding hands, smiling, and sipping the tea that our daughters brought to us. At the beginning of the final year of offerings, prayers, and hikes, at the end of this journey, I sensed that the Lord said to me, "At 1,000, I will give to you an offering." Can you imagine that the Lord said to me that at 1,000 offerings, I will give to you an offering? This confused me. I wondered if it could be so. So I sought the wisdom of the local rabbi. Like many other religious types, he was of actual little to no help. He just sat there and listened to me. He nodded and he leaned in. And when I finally asked him what I should do at hike number 1,000, at offering number 1,000, he just shrugged his shoulders and said, "Keep praying." I couldn't sleep that year, wondering what it might mean, what it might look like for the Lord to give me an offering. I mean, I gave 1,000 offerings to the Lord and the Lord gave me one, but I'll take what I can get. I gave my boys the nicest horses you can buy for their 16th birthday. They came from a Mediterranean land, I'm told, that is in the shape of a boot. We named one Ferrari and the other Lamborghini. At age 16, the boys both had horses finer now than I ever had in my own life, and they loved to ride them fast they did, but it was their mother and their sisters who cared for them in our stables. Walking up the mountain, all I could pray for them was for my sons, that one day they would learn, as I did, to work hard, to care for what you have. I hate to admit it, but they sound a lot like the rumors I hear of the children from Dalkinafek Walk. Dalkinafek Walk, DFW. Hike 999 was possibly the worst of them all. Small balls of ice and thunder peppered me from the sky. High winds swirled the drought-ridden land, and dust was everywhere I couldn't see. While I was walking, I heard the spirit of the earth whisper, "Haboob, Haboob." With no visibility, the entire hike was done by muscle memory. Returning home, I did not shower for the next 5 days. That week, I worked hard in the fields, showing the new employees the culture of our organization. I fasted and slept in the barn. And on the 6th day, I bathed. I ate. I put on our family linens, and I left at sundown for the 1,000th offering. For the first time since those early years of clearing and forging the path, I walked slow. I could feel the ground beneath my feet. Flower and fauna appeared to me in the glow of the low light that had been hidden by my own determination. I went around the long bend for the first time in nearly two decades and remembered the beauty of the false summit. I asked myself, did I go the long way for joy, or was I avoiding? Was I delaying? Accomplishment and anxiety filled my soul. What would the Lord offer to me? I summited just before sunrise. I sat on the western foot of the altar, said my prayers, and I slept for the first time in a year. The Lord appeared to me in a dream, saying, "Ask what I should give to you, and it shall be granted." My soul leapt. I was certain. I was steadfast. The fruit of my labor would finally and fully be blessed. The discipline of my faith and faculty would finally pay off. It was dusk, nearly 24 hours later, when I eventually returned home. My daughters rushed to me, even though I was on the edge of our visible property. My wife had sent out laborers to look for me, and yet my sons were unaware that I had even been gone. My girls comforted me and brought me the finest dinner in bed. For what seemed like a week, I slept, and yet I awoke restless. I went to the barn to observe our managers and laborers who had begun to bring in what I swear was the most magnificent harvest I had ever seen on our land or anyone else's. It could have been the hope of 1,000 offerings or the fog hanging over my body. The next day, we traveled to the property of our in-laws, and the wheat had never seemed so perfect. The next week, we fetched twice as much profit at market in half amount of time. We sold out faster than every Murray's lamb kebab barbecue from Wolftown down the road. At the Festival of Booths, we celebrated. We feasted at our home, inviting all of our servants. Our girls led us in the giving of thanks to God. Our sons were busy with their social activities, told us they would show up later, but never made an appearance. That night, the Lord again came to me in a dream, saying, "The work of your hand, as you have asked, shall prosper unlike any other." I dreamt more of fields for our planting, more storehouses for our grain, more work for our team, more bricks for our home, more chariots for our travel. And for the next 10 years, it was so, and it was so. The work of my hand prospered unlike any other. Everything we touched turned to gold. With the highest of dowries, the greatest of suitors from all the land came to court our daughters. We gave them away in marriage, and it was not just our nest that was empty, but our hearts were also poured out. The largest fields were given to our sons to manage, and yet one only seemed interested in gladiators and the other only interested in grapes. As our bodies tired, I did continue to climb the mountain and offer thanks to the Lord on the holy days. For the first time in our lives, we gave of our first fruits to the synagogue and to those in need in our village. We doubled the salaries of all who had worked in our fields for what seemed like a generation, eventually even including them in our family's estate. Our daughters gave children and sons to their husbands. They returned to us on occasion to celebrate Passover in Booths. We would slaughter our finest bull, open our finest vintage, and bake our finest yeast. In the last remaining family tie, our sons finally grew apart from one another over a business deal gone wrong. Our youngest squandered his inheritance in a Jerusalem minute. He came home to us with nothing. Our eldest stopped visiting and riding to us when we allowed his younger brother to live and work with our servants on the edge of our properties. I heard from a distant relative that our oldest did settle down, marry, have children. We sent a gift and a blessing, but ghosted. Never a response. I would have traded all my success for their joy and their contentment. I would have given all I had earned through the years for them to be next door in those final years of my life as I was for my father. For it came to pass that my wife and I, like all before us, we went to sleep with our ancestors, and our daughters and their husbands came to mourn, to pray, to anoint us with oil, and lay us in the tomb of my parents, now overgrown with brush. Our souls slept for what could have been 1,000 years or the blink of an eye. We awoke with what seemed like a weightlessness, a strength, a joy unrivaled in all of our years of living, greeted by oceans of what I can only describe as perfection, fields of what seemed to be scattered sunshine and mountains of pure joy. There was a home similar to the one from our early years of marriage, quaint, with a beautiful mustard brush canopying over the porch. Our out back was a table that seemed as long as Noah's Ark. Upon the tables, the finest fruits and vegetables and rye, but it all paled into comparison to the warmest people reclined around the table. One waved to us, saying, "Welcome, come, eat, drink, and be glad." We feasted past sundown, and the full moon was closer and brighter than the Egyptian sun. We met women named Ru and Nay who lived with faith and abundance through the great famine my grandparents had told me of. We met a man named Jay who I swear was the same one the rabbi had told us about as children, who lost everything, his sons, his fields, even his friends. A man who remained steadfast, faithful, and prayed to the Lord. The man who received more than I can even compare to now. Believe it or not, there at the table, I met another man who had also given 1,000 offerings to the Lord atop the sacred mountain. A man who also received in return an offering from the Lord. This man seemed to have lived after me and yet also seemed to understand all of the nuances in life, past, present, and future. We met people who were entirely other. They spoke other languages. It was as though they were from another planet, as though their reality was both upside down and right side up at the same time. At times, we were unsure what we could even say to one another, so we held hands and hummed our prayers in our own languages and in our own ways. We met a someone. A someone who also seemed to be on what a single person could be, and yet at one, unlike any other in the entire universe. I couldn't tell if this person was a king or a servant, a vagabond or a landowner. This person only said a few words the entire feast, but when they did, it seemed as though everyone stopped, everyone listened, everyone smiled. Come to think of it, I can't remember any of the specifics of the words uttered, but I found my soul singing. When they spoke, I sensed the very same spirit of the Lord that occasionally had met me on the mountaintop for those 1,000 offerings, and at moments I was sure this was the Lord. And yet at moments I also sensed the presence of my daughters, my sons, my servants, and my friends. Whatever it was that this person was or is, there was a peace beyond all human understanding. And I find myself thinking, I wish I would have asked for more of that on the mountain of 1,000 offerings. And yet I had no regret. I had no regret of looking back at my life in this moment, for I knew then and there I could ask for that kindness, I could ask for that grace, I could ask for that love and that peace far beyond human understanding, and it would never, ever run dry. As the words of our faith remind us, brothers and sisters, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, set your minds on such things. Whatever you have learned or seen or received in Christ, put into practice. And the peace of God, beyond all human understanding, will be with you. I invite you to stand as you may be able as we continue to worship.
Jesus, the Mary. Father, help us to seek wisdom. Help us to seek what is true and right and holy and just in your kingdom, and to live our lives in service to you and to those you love. Lord, there's so much in this whole universe we do not know. More we do not know than we know. But we do know that you are a God of love. And help us, Lord, to live our lives as loving people, giving not only to you, but to those around us. But as we give our gifts today, Lord, bless them that they might be used in the service of those you love. Thank you, Lord, for being a God who loves us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Go in peace. God bless you.